In Romans, the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul introduces to us several relationships in which every Christian is involved, and he gives us some legislation regarding those relationships. He starts in verse 1 with our relationship with God, and he tells us that you and I are to be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In the very next verse, he talks about our relationship to the world. And there he says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Last week, we studied the third relationship, and that is a relationship that each one of us shares with ourself. Paul says, "For this I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We are to think of ourselves correctly, not higher than we ought. We are not to be haughty and arrogant. In fact, we need to possess a very lowly, humble nature as far as self is concerned. Paul continues talking about these relationships in verses 4 and 5, and there he talks about our relationship in the body of Christ. And he says this, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, even so we, being many, are one body in Christ and members one of another." I've entitled this particular lesson, "A Plurality, But Still One." Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. We're going to be looking at these particular verses, and predominantly these only, for the remainder of this particular lesson. There's 3 points that we're going to be making in this lesson. Let's start with number 1, the comparison. When you look at these 2 verses, overall, Paul is making a comparison, and the comparison is between our physical body and the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the verse in that way, there are 2 little words that prove he's trying to make this comparison. The first word is the little word "as," verse 4, and then the little word "so" in verse 5. Notice what he says again. "For as we have many members in one body," and then verse 5, "even so..." And now he talks about the spiritual body. He's making a comparison, the physical body versus the body of Christ. Notice the physical body. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." The spiritual body, verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Folks, these 2 bodies are almost identical one to another, aren't they? Here's what I find interesting about this comparison. It is God who has created the entirety of the universe, isn't it? And He's created everything that is in it. And I sincerely believe that there are spiritual lessons in almost everything God has created if you and I can find them. And the reason I say that is this. Does the Bible talk about seed? Oh, yes. Seeds are absolutely essential to the existence of mankind, isn't it? Seeds are planted, they produce a crop, and we partake of those crops in order to live. We need seed, and Jesus said that the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. Luke 8, verse 11. Does the Bible talk about grass? Oh, yes. In the first century, they would oftentimes plant grass on the top of their houses. Their houses were flat-topped roofs. And the rains would come, and that seed would be planted there and it would be beautiful and green in the morning. And then all of a sudden the heat of the sun would come. And by afternoon, almost every bit of that grass was just as dry as it could be, and possibly some even died. He likens that to our physical lives, does he not? And how brief we live on this earth. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25. He talks about trees, doesn't he? Psalm 1 verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's talking about a righteous man. A righteous man is like a tree planted by water. And a luscious, fruitful tree he is. That's what God wants us to be. The Bible talks about families, doesn't it? A multitude of families in Scripture. Talks about the husband, talks about the wife, talks about the mothers, the fathers, the children, and he has a spiritual family, does he not? God the Father, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, the church, the bride of Christ, and we as children of the living God. The Bible talks about water and rivers and fountains. The Bible talks about bread. It was Jesus who said, I am the bread of life. Bread is absolutely essential for living, isn't it? And my friends, Jesus is absolutely essential for our spiritual well-being. He talks about leaven, doesn't he? A little leaven does what? Leaveneth the whole lump. I remember going to my grandmother's when I was little. She'd always cook biscuits. But it took a little while. She'd mix up that dough, she'd put that leaven in there, and then she'd set it on that warm stove. When are you going to have them biscuits? They got to rise first, Vic. Don't get all upset. Finally, they'd rise, and boy, you get some good old biscuits. We don't do that anymore. We've got self-rising flour now, whatever that means. The Bible talks about lambs, doesn't it? We sang about lambs this morning and our being lambs. And the Bible says that even Jesus is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The Bible talks about serpents, and the devil is compared to a serpent. He's wily, he's crafty, he's slick, he's sly, and yet Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents. Interesting, isn't it? He talks about the heavenly host, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and oftentimes leaders of the world are compared to those spiritual hosts of heaven. See, God created this world. My friend, if you and I will do our study, if we'll do our research, if we'll look deep enough, there are spiritual lessons in almost everything God has created. And when the Apostle Paul looked at the human body, he said, man, look at that. That body right there looks just like, guess what? The spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And he makes the comparison, doesn't he? Let's notice point number two, the composition. Paul starts by saying this, the physical body is composed of many members, aren't we? For as we have many members. Now, Paul didn't have the technology and the science and the medical understanding of the body that we have, did he? But guess what? When he looked at the body, he saw there's a lot of members. You can just look at the outside of us, and there's a lot of members, aren't there? Hair, ears, eyes, a nose, a mouth that has what? Lips and teeth and tongues. Well, just one tongue. We got a neck, we got a chest, we got arms, we got two hands, we got 10 fingers. We got a stomach, we got 2 legs, we got 2 feet, we got 10 toes. Folks, I don't know about you, that is a lot of members, isn't it? For as we have what? Many members. And Paul also knew this. that those members do not have the same office. What he means by that is this: those members do not have the same function one of another. And again, Paul didn't have access to information like we have today. Can you imagine how overwhelmed Paul would be if he knew what we know? Folks, there are 12 major systems functioning within our, and I'm going to say this for me, little body. 12 systems. Every one of us have 12 systems functioning within this body. Each one of us have 5 major organs within us. The body has 206 bones that are found within it. I wonder if you walked up to Paul and said, "Hey, Paul, how many bones you think we got?" "I don't know." We know now, don't we? 206 bones. Have you ever thought just about the ear? The ear on the human body looks pretty simple, does it not? You have this fleshy little thing on the outside, that's called a pinna. You got an ear canal and you have an eardrum. The tympanic membrane, that's the outer part of the ear. But then you have a second part of the ear, the middle ear, and it's composed of 3 little bones. And those 3 little bones take the movements that are found in the eardrum and it passes it on to the inner ear. The inner ear consists of 3 parts: the cochlea, the semicircular canals, and then a lot of nerves that are therein. And then we have the big part, and it's called the auditory nerve that goes directly to the brain. Paul didn't know about all that stuff. Just think if he had known about that. For as the body hath many members, doesn't it? You know what else Paul didn't know about? Paul didn't know about all the intricacies of the cells of the body. I doubt if Paul had ever removed a person's skull cap and done any research on the human brain. I bet if you asked Paul, "Paul, what in the world is DNA?" he would say, "I don't have a clue." And yet we know all about those things. Folks, the things we've talked about, the number of bones you have, vital organs, systems, cells, brain, your DNA, all the parts of your ear. Guess what? Every one of us in this audience has those things. Every one of us. What's the point we're trying to make? The body is composed of what? Many members. And Paul goes to verse 5, and guess what he says? He says, the exact same thing is true of the spiritual body. And the Bible talks about the diversity of the body. Jesus tells about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, doesn't he? Verses 14 and 15, he talks about how a man calls his servants to him. To one he gives 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, to another 1 talent. Folks, that's diversity of members, is it not? One of those men went out and traded, and he got 5 talents more. Now he's a 10-talent man. One got 2 talents more, and he's a 4-talent man. We may have people in the church who are 20, 30, 40, 50-talent people. You know that? And we may have some that are only 1- and 2-talent individuals. But it shows the diversity that's in the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul makes a list of various gifts that God gives to members of the body of Christ. We turn to Ephesians 4, verse 11, and Paul talks about the various positions in the body of Christ. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers, individuals occupying different positions, different functions. different works in the body of Christ in the first century. Members of the church received one or two of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. There were nine of those gifts in total, weren't there? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Just think, Paul, if we lived in the first century and Paul had converted members of this congregation, he would lay hands on individuals and he might give me and Brett the gift of tongues. And he might give Dutch the interpretation of those tongues. Now guess what? Brett and I couldn't say a word unless Dutch was here, because there had to be the interpreter of those tongues. Somebody gets sick and guess what? Don't come to me. I can only speak in tongues. Oh, Hal over there has got the gift of healing. You go to Hal. He got a line a mile long at his house all the time. People want to be healed. But a diversity of gifts in the first century church. Miraculous gifts, folks. Because they lived in the miraculous age. They didn't have this book. They needed those gifts in order to function, in order for the church to work properly as it should until the New Testament could be revealed to mankind. The body of Christ is a diverse body, is it not? Just as our physical bodies are diverse. But guess what? Our physical body is also one in number, isn't it? Many members, but one body. Everybody I've seen walk in this building this morning only has one body, thank God. You come in here walking in here with two or three bodies, I'm going to run out the other door. Something ain't right. Isn't that true? Every one of us have one body. And Paul says it's the same way in the spiritual body as well. For we being many are what? One body in Christ. One body, folks. And that thought of one body is spoken of over and over and over and over again in the Scripture. There's probably at least 10 or 12 times where Paul and others write about just being one body. For we being many are one bread and one body, he says. 1 Corinthians 10:17. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Listen to what he says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Three times he says what? There is one body, just one. In the very next verse he says this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. I'm about sick of this. I got it, preacher. There's one body. Well, just talk to Paul, because he just keeps on saying it, doesn't he? Talk about Jew and Gentile in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that they both might be reconciled unto God, where? In one body. He brought Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians, Scythians, all together where? In one body, just one. Paul says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in what? One body. How many bodies are there, folks? Oh, I just thought the whole congregation would at least say one body. I heard one person whisper it. One body, people. That's all. The singular nature of the church. The fact that there is one body is not understood by the denominational world. They don't even hardly talk about it. Okay, because they believe there are many bodies, don't they? And if they ever do talk about the oneness of the body, they do so with a denominational taint to it. What they believe is this. They believe that the many members are all the denominations brought together in one body called Christendom in their minds. Folks, that picture is never presented in the Scripture. You want to know why? Denominationalism didn't exist in the first century. How could Paul be talking about that? Denominationalism didn't come around until about the 18th century. 17th century. That's when denominations started coming into existence. Paul is not talking about many members being denominations. He's talking about the many members being individual Christians who make up the one body of Jesus Christ. That's the composition. Many members, one body. Every time you look in a mirror, that's what you ought to think. You know that? I've got many members, but I've just got one body. Jesus has many members, but He just has what? One body. Let's look at point number three. The coordination that exists in the bodies. First of all, the body is diverse. Notice what Paul said. All members have not what? All members have not the same office. Now, what I'm about to tell you is going to shock you. Okay? You're just going to be flabbergasted at these next three statements. Okay? So, are you ready? Hold on. The eye is clearly distinct from the ear. Ain't that amazing? Bet you didn't even know that, did you? Talking about a revelation. The eye is distinct from what? From the ear. My eyeball has never heard anything. And my ear has never seen anything. Eyes see, ears hear. They're distinct from one another. The hand is clearly distinct from what? From the feet. If I wanted to, I could go home this afternoon and I could, on my feet, probably walk 5 or 10 miles. I could do that on my feet. But guess what I can't do? I can't do that on my hands. You want to know why? One, my hands aren't designed to do that. They're distinct from one another, aren't they? I have never typed a lesson on my keyboard with my feet. I do that with what? I do that with my hands. They're distinct from one another. Different offices, different functions. How about this one? The heart is clearly distinct from the liver, isn't it? If you don't believe it, you have to go to two different doctors to get them doctored on. Try to go to the heart doctor with your liver problems. It ain't going to happen. Our bodies are what? Uniquely diverse, one from another. And the same is true with the spiritual body. So we, being many. We've already talked about in that previous point about how diverse the body is, haven't we? Some 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 4 talents, some 3. It's diverse in a lot of other ways too. We're diverse as far as age goes, gender is concerned, race is concerned. Different individuals have different professions in which they work and labor. Different socioeconomic statuses, different personalities, different experiences in life. Folks, we are different one from another. We are a diverse group of people. Now I want you to listen to this. Diversity in the body of Christ is a wonderful thing. You know that? It's a wonderful thing. In what way, Vic? How about this? We have variety rather than boring sameness, don't we? What if every one of us were just one body part? You looked at me and I'm just an eyeball. That's all I am. And I just roll around. Just an old eyeball. kind of ugly, isn't it? Now, I may be a beautiful eyeball just for an eyeball, but that's all I am. What if Brett were just one big ear? Aren't you glad we have diversity in the body? How about this next one? It keeps one another out of one another's business. You know that? That's what diversity is about, folks. My eye has never tried to go to my ear and take over what it does. Well, you dumb little ear, you don't know how to hear very well. Let me get in there and help you out. Are you kidding me? My eye's never done that. Diversity does what? Diversity keeps us out of one another's business. Elders are to elder, the preacher is to preach, and the deacons are to deke. I mean, serve, aren't we? Teachers teach. And sometimes we get those boundaries all crossed up, don't we? We try to get in one another's boundaries. Talk about that some in a minute. How about this one? It enables every one of us to find our spot, doesn't it? You're baptized into Christ. He adds you to His body, the church. And now what do I need to do? I need to find my spot, don't I? What am I in the body of Christ? Maybe I'm a caregiver. Maybe I'm a teacher of little ones. Maybe I'm a person who loves to go visit. Maybe I'm a preacher. Maybe I am an elder. There's diversity in the body, and now when I get into Christ, I can find my spot in the body of Christ. Folks, there is a spot for every one of us. Every one of us. Well, I don't know what to do down there. Well, get to looking. There's something to be done. How about this one? It enables us to get a lot more things done, doesn't it? You know what I'm glad? I'm glad I have two hands and not one. Because I can get a lot more done with two than I can with one. Have you ever tried to go thumbless? I don't recommend it. Just one thumb you don't have on your body. And guess what? You got some problems. You're going to have a trouble. Now, yes, people adjust and they do a lot of amazing things, but it's difficult. Very difficult. It allows members to assist one another from time to time if they need it, doesn't it? Sometimes my hands do help my feet. Put a little medicine on them or something. It's part of what causes the body of Christ to grow, isn't it? My hand puts food into my mouth. My teeth chew the food. My esophagus swallows the food. My body properly digests the food and sends it to various portions of my body. In order to do what? In order to grow, in order to increase. We need diversity in the body of Christ so that we'll grow properly, folks. How about this next one? It is a part of what causes those in the world to be interested in the body. I can continue to be Korean. I can continue to be Chinese. I can continue to be whatever I am racially in the body of Christ. Because the body's what? The body's diverse, isn't it? And I can continue to be all of those things. But the body is also, even though it's diverse, it's unified. For as we, being many, are what? One body. One individual referred to that as unity. Another referred to that as a harmonious diversity. Don't you love that? We got 10,000 parts. I don't know if that's the actual number. That make up our body. And guess what? There's just one body. And it's just as unified as it can be. Is it not? Or at least it's supposed to be. My friends, in the body of Christ, we are all under the same exact authority, our head, Jesus Christ. We're able to work toward a common goal, aren't we? The building up of the body of Christ, the going out and saving those individuals who are lost. we're able to come together in sessions like this and worship the Father with one spirit and one voice, unified, even though we're diverse. And we're able to manifest to the world our unity. And just like our diversity draws the world, so does our unity, doesn't it? And Jesus prayed about it, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in us, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Folks, churches that fight and argue and bicker and divide, they are not appealing to the world. Our God wants us unified as His body. That last statement is what caused me to title the lesson the way I did. Yes, we're a plurality, but we're still one, aren't we? The problem is this. We don't always do very well with diversity or oneness. Isn't that sad? Sometimes there's strife among the members when it comes to their diversity. Remember the church at Corinth? Fighting over spiritual gifts. I've got the gift of tongues. I'm better than you. Oh no, I have the gift of prophecy. I'm better than you. Fight and bicker over their diversity. You know, there's some organs of the body that do just a little bit more for the body than others. Isn't that true? My heart does a whole lot more for me than my little toenail does. Isn't that true? But guess what I don't want to do? I don't want you coming over cutting off my little toenail. I'll just keep that, thank you. But see, what we have a tendency to do, well, I'm needed that much more than you. I do so much more. I got a more important occupation than you in the church. You see, we just don't get diversity, folks. And then sometimes we do this. We don't appreciate the diversity of another person. Other people aren't designed to do what I want them to do. They are designed to do what God wants them to do. Well, I think you can do this. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. Maybe that's not what I'm designed for. Maybe that's not my function. Appreciate what I can do and what I do in the body of Christ. Isn't that true? Sometimes we try to get people to do things that they were never designed to do. That's not good. Sometimes we get into other people's business, don't we? That's what we talked about a moment ago. My eye doesn't get into my ear. My heart doesn't bother my liver. When a person has a work in the church, let that person do the work of the church. You've got your work of the church, you do your work of the church. Sometimes we get so caught up in everybody else's business that we don't even do what we're supposed to do. Folks, that's not what our diversity is for. Our diversity is there to make us strong and to cause us to grow. And we need to appreciate one another's diversity. And sadly, in some churches, we don't manifest the unity that God wants us to manifest to the world. Ephesians 4:16, a beautiful verse about the body of Christ. Go home today and memorize it. You'll wake up tomorrow and will have forgotten it. Because it's a pretty hard verse to memorize, okay, as far as the King James Version is concerned. From whom the whole body, he's talking about how the body is attached to the head, how the body flows from the head. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. That's a hard verse to memorize. But guess what? There is a ton of information about the body in that church, in that one verse. Number one, there are many parts. Number two, all parts are needed. Number three, all parts are supposed to be working, the effectual working, in the measure of every part. God doesn't want you sitting on the sideline. He doesn't want you at home when things are going on. Folks, He wants you to be a part of the body and do the work. All parts are to be working together. The 80-20 rule should never be a part of the church. It ought to be 100%. Every member working. All parts are to be unified, fitly joined together. And we're working for a common goal, are we not? We are to make increase of the body. That's our purpose. And I find it interesting the way he closes it out. He says they're all joined together in one bond. And it's not the bond of hatred. It's not the bond of condemnation. It's the bond of what? It's the bond of love. A lot in one verse, isn't it? God created man and gave him a body in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. First body, Adam. And when God created that body, guess what he knew? He knew, I'm going to create another body almost exactly like this one, except it's spiritual in nature. And that's the body of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the church. My friends, we want you to be a member of that body. Salvation's found in that body. The Bible says in Acts 2:47 that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You need to do that this morning through faith, repentance, confession of the name of Jesus. And remember what Paul said in Romans 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized, where? Into one body. Those aren't my words, those are Paul's. Dear Christian, how are you functioning in the body of Christ? You fulfilling your role, fulfilling your function that's there? Maybe we need to repent and ask God to forgive us. You need the prayers of this congregation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?